The ego is very, very strong, or it wouldn't have survived all these lifetimes. At this last moment, it tells you, or you feel, that it's the very source of your life that you're laying down. And at that point, I'm telling you, it is safe to surrender it. It is safe, but you have to have a knowingness that it's safe. You have to have heard it. You have to know it. You have to have it in your aura. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, it comes to you. Walk right through. The Zen saying, to walk into fear no matter what, got me through it. No matter what means without limitation, even to death itself. No matter what. And so I repeat the words of the master who I followed at that moment. No matter what. All right, so as you surrender, as you're willing to let go, you'll see the ego hangs on because it's getting something out of it. Now, everybody's ego is going to resist this. Expect it to. Let's hear it from the old ego. This hatred is justified. I should feel angry at this guy. You know what I mean? It's very clever convincing you that the juice it's getting is justified, good for America, if nothing else. And they deserve it anyway. To give up self-pity, to give up anger, to give up resentment, to surrender them through forgiveness. So the power, of course, of the Course in Miracles is the willingness to forgive all and get out of the lower fields of consciousness. So in the beginning, the ego identifies with form, that's here. How does it know that? Because it registers it through recognition. You'll notice that there isn't any me that's thinking anyway. There is a watcher experience here. So in meditation or in contemplation, if you focus on the field, you'll notice that witnessing is happening of its own. There's no me deciding to be aware of all the people in this room. It's happening automatically. Every one of you here, it's happening automatically. Your awareness of everybody here, isn't that so? It's not because you're saying, oh, I choose to be aware of everybody in the room. It's happening by itself. So there's no point in taking credit for it. You don't get credit for being aware of everything that's going on in the room because it's happening of its own. So the first thing you notice about consciousness is it's automatic. The light of consciousness is automatic. It expresses as the watcher, the experiencer, through awareness, the observer. You get to the source of that faculty, you'll see that's an impersonal faculty. There isn't any person you that decided to be consciously aware. Witnessing is happening of its own. So in meditation, you pull back from identifying with the content of meditation. I am this, I did that, and all that BS. That's all a fallacious story. And you realize that that which I am is the witness of all those thoughts, feelings, and that panorama. I call it a phantasmagoria. It's such a wonderful word. I love that word. Phantasmagoria. My great aunt used to have something for, it was really special for your birthday. So she called it a monster polypheme. I said, what's that under there? She said, that's a monster polypheme. That would be like something like a whole croquet set or something, you know? Monster polypheme. So this whole phantasmagoria that goes through the mind, you know, everybody who's meditated knows that. Memories, thoughts, fantasies, imaginations, little itty-bitty-boop, boppity-bop-bop music from the 1920s that you heard from the all this garbage. So you realize that that which you are is the involuntary witness. You don't volunteer to be the witness. You are the witness. No point to take credit for it. No point to feel ashamed about it because it's automatic. Consciousness automatically is conscious because that's its nature and it's impersonal. That's part of your karmic inheritance, is to be conscious. Consciousness then. So one begins to identify with the witness, the observer, then with consciousness. Then one stops identifying the consciousness as personal. And one even goes beyond the manifest and realizes the ultimate is beyond all form, the unmanifest, out of which consciousness arises. And that makes you a Buddha. Karma is a very simple thing. it's argued in Christianity at all, but that's all superfluous. Whether Jesus taught about it or not, it's all irrelevant. You know, if it's a reality, it's a reality. Whether Jesus taught about it or not, I don't know. What did he know 2,000 years ago? You know what I mean? We don't know what he said. It was in a different language, a different culture, on the other side of the world, thousands of years ago. So how do you know what he said? I don't know. That's why we find calibrating levels of consciousness very, very useful. Because you can say, did he really say that? You know, a lot of us that are really spiritually committed, even from childhood, will read something and say, did he really say that? It seemed like out of character. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And you can test it. Did he really say that, or did he mean that, or did not mean that? Okay.